90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning and welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today we're going to have another split show like we did last week. And our guest for our first half is Dr. Srinivas, who is a pharmacist at Truman Medical Center. And we're going to discuss the three vaccines that are approved for emergency use authorization by the Food and Drug Administration. And our guest for the second half, and we're going to be talking about the importance of getting vaccinated, is Ms. Yvette Richards, who's Community Connections and Missions Director at St. James United Methodist Church. Good morning, Dr. Srinivas. Are you with us, ma'am?
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me on here.
No, thank you. You have the name that's a mouthful, so I think I've gotten the last part down. Can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is Pavitha Srinivas. I am an infectious diseases clinical pharmacy specialist working in the ambulatory ID clinics here at Truman Medical Centers. I'm originally from St. Louis, went eastwards towards Ohio for residency training and practice for a few years, and then this opportunity opened up here to bring me closer to family. So here I am.
So Dr. Srinivas, how long have you worked for Truman Medical Center?
I've been here about 5 months now, so I just started in the fall.
So, but at least you got yourself back to home, which is sometimes the most important part.
Yes.
Dr. Srinivas, we have three different vaccines, and we're going to touch on each one of them, but the vaccines are operating under EUA, which is Emergency Use Authorization. So can you tell our listeners what Emergency Use Authorization is?
Yeah, so an emergency use authorization is somewhere along the steps to an FDA approval, but not quite a full approval. Given that COVID-19 has had such a large global impact and it's a public health emergency, there's been a lot of need for rapid data development and studies being conducted on large scale programs, given that the disease affects pretty much the entire community. So emergency use authorizations are basically FDA's way of saying that the studies that have been conducted with these vaccinations have been vetted, they are appropriate, the data is promising, and that the benefits of receiving these vaccines at this time significantly outweigh the risks of actually acquiring COVID-19 infection. We're still waiting on some additional data, more long-term data, until that full authorization comes about.
Dr. Srinivas, these vaccines are developed using a new type of technology, mRNA. How does that differ from a traditional vaccination?
Yeah, so that's a great question. mRNA technology is really novel in that it takes a small portion of the genetic code of the virus. So it's not the entire virus. It's usually, as in this case, it's the genetic code for the spike protein that is the most infective part of that virus. And what it does is it encodes that in this vaccine formulation that is then administered to people, hosts, who then mount an immune response to this particular spike protein. So your body basically sees the spike protein, creates antibodies to it in preparation for down the line, if at any point you are exposed to the actual virus, your body is already familiar with how to produce these antibodies. So these little portions of protein are basically prepping your body to be able to fight off the actual virus down the line. mRNA is by no means the entire viral genome. It's not a live attenuated virus. It's not a full virus, in fact. So it's just a little portion.
So one of the myths out there is that if you get the shot, they're essentially giving you a version of the coronavirus. And is that true, Dr. Srinivas?
So it is not a version of the coronavirus. Like I said, it's just a small piece of it. It is something that once your body develops antibodies to it, the mRNA is actually discarded by normal cellular processes. So there's no concern for any lingering portions of the virus even.
So what it sounds like is that getting the vaccination basically prepares your body to be able to fight off COVID in the event that you were to contract COVID.
In the event that you are to be exposed to COVID, yes.
So, Dr. Srinivas, there are currently three vaccinations approved and allow for emergency use authorization. Can you tell us what those vaccinations are?
Yeah, so the first two that were approved in about December 2020 were the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. Both of those are built using the mRNA technology. The Pfizer vaccine was the first one to come out. It is a two-dose series that's given about 3 weeks apart. The Moderna vaccine, also an mRNA vaccine, is also a two-dose series given about 4 weeks apart. Both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines have shown 95% efficacy when it comes to preventing moderate to severe COVID, and 100% efficacy effectiveness, basically in preventing hospitalization and death due to COVID. The third vaccine that very recently, in the past month or so, acquired emergency use authorization is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is a different kind of vaccine. It's what's called an adenovirus vector vaccine. So to put it in simple terms, it's like a Trojan horse vaccine. It's basically that small spike protein component that's put inside a dead adenovirus that doesn't normally infect humans. And that's a way to introduce that spike protein to the host and help your body build immunity. Now, the nice thing about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is that it is a single-dose vaccine, so there's no need to wait 3 or 4 weeks to get a second dose. One dose, and you're good to go. In a lot of the studies, which actually these studies included not just U.S., but also the new variants that we're hearing about from South Africa, from Brazil, it's shown overall, 66% efficacy in preventing moderate to severe COVID infection. And similar to Pfizer and Moderna, it's 100% effective against preventing hospitalization and death due to COVID.
And the Pfizer vaccine is authorized for people what ages and up?
It is authorized for people 16 and up, and the Moderna vaccine is 18 and up. So studies are still undergoing for children right now.
So there is a vaccination out there that when we start looking at high schoolers in the next 3 or 4 months, as the president said, essentially by July 4th, everybody that wants a vaccination should be able to get one. There are some that are already approved for those who are under age 18.
Correct, yes, between 16 to 18.
So the overall effectiveness, what is the overall effectiveness for the Pfizer vaccine? I know it's been updated. It started, I think, at 95%, but it's been updated recently. Would you have to have that information?
For the Pfizer vaccine?
For the Pfizer.
Yeah, so I don't have the most up-to-date information. I believe studies are still ongoing with the newer variants that have come about. So we're still waiting to see that.
And as you were saying about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that is going to be the vaccine that they're going to be given this week at starting tomorrow at Arrowhead for those who have signed up. So tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then again on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Those people that have been pre-selected by the health department, Jackson County Health Department to be more exact, will be getting the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Correct, yes. So the mass vaccination event this weekend at Arrowhead Stadium is something that is being coordinated by the Jackson County Health Department. And Truman Medical Centers is really the healthcare partner that is there to assist. And it is going to be the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So people who have submitted a survey through the Jackson County Health Department, if they fall into one of the approved tiers in the state of Missouri, will be contacted by the County Health Department to set up an appointment time, basically sometime in the next 2 days, to receive that shot.
So I know Truman is doing some innovative things. They're working to take buses out into the underserved community and bring people back to the hospital. But I know a lot of people may not know how to sign up for that. How do you sign up to get on the list? I know you all's number is the same. The number that they use at Truman is the same for the Jackson County Health Department. What is the number that people would call to be able to get signed up for getting a vaccination?
Yeah, so Truman, Truman Medical Center's community outreach team has been working with various different churches, YMCAs, schools, in order to help kind of reach out into the community. The best way to get on the list for that is to call 404-CARE, C-A-R-E, and that's the general Truman line for any questions related to COVID vaccine access.
So if you're looking for COVID vaccination people, you can call 404-2273 or 404-CARE, CARE. And for those that wanted to look at, I don't know if there's 3,000 shots available tomorrow, 3,000 shots available on Saturday, but you must have an appointment. So you can give that number a call this morning. They may have slots left. So for those that are interested, definitely call that number to get information about not only what's happening this weekend, but other places that you can get vaccinated in the state of Missouri and the city of Kansas City.
Yeah, and so the other thing is that the event that's happening this weekend is really more so through the Jackson County Health Department. So I would also encourage people to go to the Jackson County Health Department website. I've actually found it pretty easy just Googling Jackson County Health Department COVID vaccine. And there is a list of local area vaccine providers, mass vaccination events, other community hospitals and clinics that are offering similar services. So they'll provide you with links on how to sign up at each of these places.
And if you're needing that information is www.jacohd.org. Again, that's jacohd.org. And when you go to the webpage, because I'm looking at it right now, you can sign up for the COVID-19 vaccination notification tool. And you can also sign up to go to one of their COVID-19 testing clinics. And they also have a website page that shows the calendar of events for those particular testing dates and where they're going to be testing at. So just because we have a vaccination doesn't mean that testing is over with, that we still continue to have to test. So, Dr. Shulava, what have we seen as far as the Johnson & Johnson vaccination? Even though it's the newest kid on the block, it seems like it's the easiest kid on the block since you only have to have one shot versus the two for the Pfizer and the Moderna.
Yeah, so from a practical standpoint, it's really nice because it's a single shot and, you know, having the logistics of setting up a second appointment, that's not an issue with Johnson & Johnson. The really cool and interesting thing about Johnson & Johnson is that, as I mentioned, in the studies for this vaccine, they actually specifically looked at its effectiveness against various different new variants that we've been hearing about in the news. So just in the U.S., the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been shown to be close to 70 to 80% effective. But also, it is shown to be almost 67 to 70% effective against those South African variants and Brazilian variants. So that's really promising news that, you know, these things, they're traveling across borders. There's no really stopping because of global travel and things like that. So it's a single dose vaccine that has shown greater than 65% effectiveness in preventing just moderate disease. And kind of the kicker is, when it comes to people, you know, high-risk people that have a tendency to get hospitalized or are at high risk for hospitalization and death because of COVID, the Johnson & Johnson one single-dose vaccine has been shown to be just as effective as the mRNA vaccine. So really, you know, the take-home point here is that there's no one vaccine that is better than the other. All these studies have kind of compared each of them in an individual bubble. So whatever vaccine it is that is offered to you first, I would highly encourage people to accept it and take that one, regardless of whether it's Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson.
So, Dr. Shulva, what are some of the common side effects that people are seeing from the coronavirus vaccinations?
Yeah, so that is an excellent question. For the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine, with the first dose, side effects weren't quite as prevalent. Usually it was about some arm soreness, some pain, that's about it. Some people maybe had a little bit of tiredness later on in the day. It's more so with the second dose, with both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, that people have reported things like chills, some headaches, a little bit more tiredness, more arm pain, soreness, things like that. Generally, it starts to happen about 12-ish hours or so after the second dose and only lasts for a day before it goes away. So I myself received the Pfizer dose and it was textbook. After the second dose, I felt kind of crummy for a day, and then I felt fine by the second day. As far as the Johnson & Johnson vaccine goes, it is just that single dose. It's one dose. So really, most of the side effects are kind of similar in that some arm soreness and some pain was reported, not so much in terms of chills or joint pain or fever or anything like that. And typically, it would happen about a day or so after the vaccine in the studies, and it would be gone within a day or two, latest by 7 days. So similar to what you would expect from any other vaccines like the shingles vaccine or anything like that.
So, and from what I've read, that tiredness feeling on that, after that second shot, or that slight fever that people may get, it's not you getting sick, it's your body's response to the vaccination ramping up your immunity system so that it can be better prepared to fight off any of the coronavirus that you may be exposed to.
Exactly. That is exactly what it is. So it's not you actually getting sick. It's just your body working to produce those antibodies and building up that immunity.
And one thing that people may need to know about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is that it doesn't need to be refrigerated like some of the other vaccines. And since it's one dose, it's most likely going to be a lot of the vaccine that people in rural Missouri and other places may see, because it's easier, it's one shot, you're protected, and that it doesn't have to be highly refrigerated like the Pfizer, and then the Moderna has to be at least kept at a refrigerated level.
Right. So both the Pfizer and Moderna require sub-zero temperatures when they're transported. So they're actually kept frozen, and then they're thawed and kept in a refrigerator, and then they're prepared for administration. So there's a lot of logistics involved in that. The Johnson & Johnson doesn't need to be frozen. It is just a standard, you know, refrigeration for transportation, and then it can be administered. And as you mentioned, it's one dose. So it's a very practically feasible option for the communities.
If you have any questions about the coronavirus vaccination, give us a call on our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So, Dr. Shulva, what is considered fully vaccinated? Because that is people are thinking, once I've got my one shot, I'm good to go. But it's not that simple. What is considered fully vaccinated?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So your body normally takes about 2 weeks or so to fully build antibodies and become protected. So the term fully vaccinated really applies to, if it's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, at least 2 weeks after that shot is when you start building up that immunity, ideally 4 weeks. So one thing that was shown in the Johnson & Johnson studies is that over time, going from 2 to 4 weeks after the vaccination, your immunity actually started building up more and more. So it was a cumulative effect. With the Pfizer and the Moderna studies, or the vaccines, which are two-dose vaccines, really what's considered fully vaccinated is 2 weeks after that second shot. So in order to get that 95% or higher effectiveness, the two doses are strongly recommended and needed within their interval, their respective intervals. And then 2 weeks from that last shot is when you're actually starting to ramp up your antibodies and immunity against COVID.
So Dr. Srigava, are there any cases in which a person should not take a vaccination because they may have health concerns or health conditions that may be negatively impacted by taking the vaccination?
So that's a really good question. What I highly encourage is that if anyone has questions like that, to talk to your healthcare providers about any of those questions. Mainly things to bring up with your healthcare providers would be if you've ever had an allergic reaction to a previous vaccine, that'd be a good topic to talk to them about. Or what we're really looking at is wanting to first protect all those people that are going to be at really high risk for getting hospitalized and in the ICU because of COVID. So, you know, there's not really any population that we would not want to vaccinate because we would rather want to protect them instead of allowing them to get hospitalized if they do catch COVID. That being said, you know, there are some immunological conditions that would warrant having that discussion with your provider to say, hey, am I ready to get this vaccine now, or should I wait for a little bit? And so if you have any questions regarding whether you would qualify for a vaccine, whether you should get it, my strong recommendation would be talk to your primary care physician, your local pharmacist, you know, any healthcare provider that you trust, and kind of talk through that process with them.
So currently, what vaccines are Truman using to inoculate people who may come there for vaccination?
That's a good question. So it depends on what is allocated by the federal and state departments of health. So far, we've been using a combination of either Pfizer or Moderna, depending on what the supplies has been. So Jackson County Health Department's mass vaccination program this weekend is going to be kind of the first introduction of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine into the Kansas City area.
And from what's put on the website, that any unused vaccinations people won't be able to stand in line for, but in turn, they're going to be either given to Truman Medical Center or they're going to be used by Jackson County for later vaccination programs.
I am not entirely sure about those logistical details.
No, I understand. So a lot of people right now are going to be thinking, I want to wait till the Johnson & Johnson. But as you said earlier, it's most important that you get a vaccination, not just wait for any vaccination, correct?
Correct. It's whichever one is offered to you first. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the differences in the efficacy, and my kind of push is, given the spectrum of this pandemic and how widespread it is, you know, it's important to get that vaccine, regardless of whether it's Pfizer or Moderna or J&J, whenever it's offered to you, because that's how we get to kind of a level of living closer to a normalcy.
And I know we're hearing a little bit in the news about some issues with the AstraZeneca vaccine, but what people need to understand is that this vaccine is only being used in Europe. It's not being used anywhere in the continental United States, correct?
Correct. The AstraZeneca vaccine has not yet been evaluated in the U.S.
So, folks, that's not a vaccine that you have to worry about getting here. That's only a vaccine that's being rolled out overseas. So a lot of people still may have questions about, you know, some of the vaccines. Where can they go to get more information on the vaccines that are currently available in the United States for vaccination?
Yeah, so some helpful resources that I like to refer to are the Centers for Disease Control, so CDC website. They have frequently asked questions and vaccine information sheets about all three of the vaccines that are currently under EUA in the U.S. The Missouri Department of Health and Kansas City and Jackson County Department of Health are also really good references to go to see what phase and what tier of people are eligible for vaccines, what programs are out there for community vaccinations, and things like that. So I usually refer to either the CDC or the Missouri Department of Health website, or the Kansas City or Jackson County Department of Health websites.
And for those that need that CDC information, it's cdc.gov for that information. Dr. Srinivas, one of the things we hear about is a lot of people who are hesitant to get the vaccination. And they'll say, oh, wait, they'll see what's going to happen. But is there any reason for people to be vaccine hesitant about getting vaccinated?
Yeah, that is a very important question, and it's a great question. A lot of what I have noticed with hesitancy with the COVID vaccines has been more related to kind of not having a full understanding of mRNA technology and how quickly everything has developed. So I like to have conversations with people and really explaining, you know, how is it that this mRNA vaccine works? It's not the complete virus. It's not you getting the actual COVID virus or anything like that. It's just a small piece of protein that then preps your body to build its immunity. And also with regards to, you know, how quickly everything has developed, large-scale funding has been provided for all of these trials. These are massive trials, including, you know, 20 to 40,000 people. And also, these trials have been under so much media scrutiny throughout. I mean, take AstraZeneca's case in point here. So, you know, there's really not been any opportunity for cutting corners or anything like that. So these trials have been well vetted and the data is good. It's solid. So it's really just kind of explaining that, talking through whatever topics that may be causing some hesitation and helping people just understand how this vaccine works and why it's important to get vaccinated.
And also what people may need to also look at, there are a lot of young people who live in multi-generation houses, so they may be living with their mom and the mother and father and maybe having an older grandparent, and the importance of getting vaccinated so when they come home, they're not bringing anything that could be harmful for those who are older who live in their homes who may have health conditions or their bodies at a reduced capacity to be able to fight off the coronavirus if they were to get it.
Exactly. That is one of the most important points.
So do you have any last minute suggestions or tips for people who maybe want to look at getting this shot but also a little bit hesitant?
You know, if you have any hesitation, I say this is a great opportunity to call up your healthcare provider or your PCP, your pharmacist, and kind of talk through it. We're all here to kind of help you understand what the process is, help you get signed up, all of that.
So we've got a caller on line two. Rich, well, we lost Rich. Call back if we can. See if we can get Rich back, one of our longtime listeners. We've lost him, so he's going to give us a call back, Rich, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So, but yeah, as we're going to try it again. All right, hold on, Rich. We're losing him, so we're having a slight issue this morning. So try us one more time, Rich, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So as we, why is it important, though, that for people who may live in outside areas, what Truman is doing to be able to get people to those vaccination sites?
Yeah, so Truman is working with various community centers, so churches, YMCAs, schools, in order to be able to facilitate smaller scale mass vaccination programs. So if you have any questions about what community outreach programs are being conducted through Truman, I would really point them in the direction of that 404-CARE phone number that they can call and find out. And then, of course, that anything else that's, you know, more large scale outside of Truman, be that retail pharmacies that are offering it, all of that information is available on the Jackson County Department of Health website.
Are you there, Rich?
Yes, I am, Joe. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead and ask your question for Dr.
Okay, real quick. I'm having my second shot tomorrow. Do I need to stay home after I take it in terms of the side effects? And secondly, what percentage immunity do I have now? It's almost 3 weeks since I had my first shot.
Yeah, that's a great question, Rich, and thank you for posing that. So there is no mandatory requirement to stay at home after your second shot unless you're actually feeling the side effects. Now, if you do develop chills, you know, some joint pain, muscle pain, basically it feels like, quote-unquote, you're feeling flu-like, I would encourage that you kind of call your employer or take a day off to just kind of relax and recover. These symptoms, they tend to be similar to flu-like, so it's hard to tell them apart, but really it's just your body building its immunity.
What fraction of people have those symptoms?
So after the second dose, depending on the age group, people under 55, about 60% had headaches, about 50% had chills. For people over 55, it was actually slightly lower. Only about 30% of people had chills and about 45% had a headache. So I would say, you know, feel it out however you're feeling. If you're having those chills and pain, aches and pains, take a day off.
And the question about the efficiency or effectiveness as of now?
Yeah. So with the Pfizer and the Moderna studies, what they've shown is that in between doses, vaccine effectiveness can range anywhere from about 50 to about 80-ish percent or so. It's really after that second dose is when you get that boost up to 95%. So that's why that second dose is kind of needed.
But 50 to 80 right now. Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rich, for calling in. So
sure, Joe.
We've got another caller, so we're going to get them to you right now. Hold on to 1 second.
Sure.
Caller, are you there? Barbara, can you tell us what part of town you're calling from, what your question or comment is for Dr. Srigalabhai?
Yes, I'm in Midtown, a few blocks from Truman.
And what's your question for Dr. Srigalabhai?
I wanted to let her know that I had COVID back in November. You know, not a totally mild case. I mean, I had fever for 2 solid weeks and that kind of thing. I got my first shot, Pfizer shot at Truman, a week ago from yesterday. And I did have, for 2 solid days... it felt like I had COVID again, you know, the headache, fever, joint pains, all of those kinds of terrible chills. But then I also had what the paper they gave me indicated were allergic reactions. I had severe heart beating out of my chest, you know, a lot, and then some swollen tongue and a little bit of difficulty breathing. So I'm reluctant to get the second shot, and I understand there's some studies showing that people who have had COVID and then get the first shot, his first shot sort of like a booster for, you know, since you've had COVID already building antibodies. So I'm reluctant to get the second shot, and I just wonder, am I fairly well protected with just the first one?
So that is an interesting question, and that is something that I don't think we have the full answer to yet. I would suggest having that same conversation with your primary care physician also to kind of work through how protected you are since you've previously had COVID and one shot. I know in a lot of other circumstances where people have had COVID in the past, we have encouraged getting both the shots, but that's just because that's kind of one of those extenuating circumstances that we're starting to learn about as these vaccines are being rolled out in the community.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Barbara. So thank you, Dr. Srigavai, for being our guest for our first half of the show this morning. And we're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Kansas City's community radio station. And when you come back, we're going to have Ms. Yvette Richards, who is the Community Connections Outreach Director for St. James United Methodist Church. Stay tuned right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson, host of Cowtown Conversations. And our guest for the second half of our show is Ms. Yvette Richards. Good morning, Ms. Richards. Are you with us?
Good morning. How are you doing, Mr. Jackson?
I'm doing well. Can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Yvette Richards, and I am the Director of Community Connections at St. James United Methodist Church under the leadership of our senior pastor, Dr. Emmanuel Cleaver III. We sit at 56th and the Paseo, and our new campus location at James A. Reed and Bannister, which is our Kansas City South campus.
And I know St. James has been for a long time since Congressman Cleaver was the pastor, has been dedicated to outreach in the community. What steps has St. James done to educate and inform people in the community amid this COVID pandemic about the coronavirus transmission, but also vaccinations?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, first of all, for having me and representing St. James today. It started last year when COVID hit. I would say everything shut down in March. We received a phone call from Truman Medical Center Community Outreach and Engagement Division and asked if they could partner with St. James to start doing COVID-19 testing. So we immediately partnered with Truman Medical Center and set up drive-through testing at our Paseo location. And later on down the line, we were at our Longview location. And not only with that, Mr. Jackson, Truman Medical Center, since last April, has been providing us every Tuesday COVID-19 educational information that we have passed along to our members, our community, like during our food pantry. We would provide that information to them. And then for a while, we were serving from March, the end of March to August, about 50 students a day with a meal program. So we provided them with information. We got a COVID-19 grant, and we partnered with Martin Luther King Elementary School, Paseo Performing Arts, De La Salle, and Providence School, and sharing the importance of the COVID-19, all the steps, wearing the mask, 6 feet apart, washing your hands, all those things that you need to be aware of.
Yvette, there was a Church of God in Christ event in KCK last March 2020, that resulted in many COVID cases and deaths. And now we are being vaccinated. But is it critical to still for us to continue to stay on guard against COVID transmission?
Oh, yes, sir. We cannot drop our guard whatsoever. If you hear the reports that come out from the CDC, Dr. Fauci, who has done a marvelous job in providing us updated information, and what makes me so proud that you contacted us during March, Women's History Month, is the 34-year-old Dr. Kizzy Colbert, who was the co-founder, co-initiative in this vaccine, the Moderna. And so I am so proud to know that we have young scientists that was leading the cause in this fight for this pandemic. There's a stigma in the Black community for many years, and rightly so. Rightly so. I will not discount that. But to have a young African-American female who was a part of the design team and has taken the vaccine, it just shows us that they have worked very hard, they have followed the science, and we are all should be rolling up our sleeves and getting the shot.
And what people may not know is that Dr. Kizzy Colbert a black woman. She's a senior research fellow and scientific lead for the coronavirus vaccines at the National Institute of Health. She briefed President Trump last year, and Dr. Fauci was there, about the vaccination. She was one of the first people to take her vaccination in December 2020. And Dr. Corbett has said she wants to rebuild trust between African Americans and medical institutions that has been broken down by centuries of medical racism and abuse.
Absolutely. That is so important. I think that's why so many scientists and young African-American doctors that have been going on doing podcasts, radio shows, speaking out, sharing their information, and just letting them know this pandemic will not stop unless everybody gets the vaccine. And so that's why I'm so proud that we have been able to partner with Truman. Once they announced that a vaccine was available, I immediately sent an email to my counterpart that I had been working with, Truman, and they were like, we will do the first ones in February, the first week of February. So we did February 2nd and February 4th, and they got the second shot. But not only that, they are constantly calling me, Yvette, we have an additional 100 vaccines for people that are 65 and older. And then they were like, we have vaccines for individuals that are 65 and older or have that diabetes or have obesity or have some type of critical health condition that makes them so susceptible to getting the COVID-19. And so we are just so grateful that we've had an opportunity to provide education, number one. That is key. And it's key for people to understand that it's not, they're not trying to get you vaccinated for their benefit. We're trying to get life back to a normal rhythm. The most impactful group from this pandemic have been our children. School has been out. Parents that have jobs that depend on the children going to school so they can work. The ability to have the essential educational tools at home, that has just been a struggle on a lot of the families. Do they have connectivity? Do they have electricity? Are they having enough food? So all those things that children learn better in a group environment. And so I think having the teachers vaccinated, having the schools with the supplies necessary, will start to get our cities, our communities back into functioning. Business will start reopening. Life will get back to normal, and we can continue to go on. The Bible says, one of the scriptures that comes to mind with this is Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you for being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the laws of God, I also will forget your children. And to me, that's just saying we perish from the lack of knowledge. So that's why it's so important that we are sharing the information on the website. We're sharing the information in our e-news. And for a while, with the grant that we received, we were on the radio providing COVID-19 educational information with a ministry moment supported by our senior pastor, Dr. Cleaver, speaking on the importance of taking care of yourself, taking care of God's temple, taking care of yourself and your community.
Yvette, why is it so critical that we as African Americans specifically stop letting centuries-old medical oppression continue to have so much power when we are seeking medical care and treatment that could save our life?
Our young people are dying. People that are at high risk, like I said earlier, that have diabetes, those that have underlying health condition, it is attacking those organs and that system in a greater amount. I am not a scientist, but I rely on the scientist that is before me, and I reach out to the two scientists in my family, my sister and brother-in-law. My sister has a master's in chemistry and majored in chemistry and biology, so I wanted her to to break it down for the everyday common person so that I would understand. And so when I called her and said, I have an opportunity to take the vaccine, she says, take it. Because we have to protect ourselves so that we can be here to protect others.
And what a lot of people may not understand is that they, the one argument that I hear, the vaccine was created too quickly, they don't know. But what people don't understand is that the COVID has been around in many forms since 2000. SARS was a version of COVID. So what they've been working on in laboratories is the SARS basis, and they really had a lot of the vaccine already done by that time. And it's EAU right now, people. It's emergency use authorization. But that doesn't mean it was shortchanged. There were hundreds of thousands of candidates who took place in test trials. It's just that we're under public health emergency so that the vaccine hasn't had the time, but it's been fully vetted by science.
Correct. And also, I remember when it first came out, what was astonishing to me and what they credit is that normally Pfizer or Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, other pharmaceutical companies would work in silos. And they spoke about how the world health community came together and shared their data, shared their research, because they knew we were in a crisis. And so with Dr. Colbert sharing that they already had a baseline that they were able to build upon, so it was already a foundation that they build upon in order to make the emergency vaccine available. And the data and the statistics that are sharing now is that the there's a decrease in hospitalization. And that is key, but we have to get ahead of that. And I'm so glad to see now in the Kansas City area that more areas are providing vaccines for people of color, African Americans, Native American, Hispanics, because they were going to the outlying areas in the rural areas, and they have been wasting vaccines and sending too many vaccines to that location. So I'm so glad that they have availability coming at Arrowhead Stadium. They have availability with the Major League, Negro League Baseball and Hy-Vee, the pharmaceutical companies, Walgreens, CVS, everybody is getting involved, because we see now that in order for our country to get back to living, get back to sharing, get back to be community, we have to have the vaccine.
And for those folks that may be interested in trying to get that, you can call 311 if you live in Kansas City, or if you live in Kansas City, Kansas, they're helping people sign up. You can call the Truman number, 404-CARE or 404-2273, to get registered. The event that they're having this weekend at Arrowhead, 3,000 people tomorrow on Friday from 9 to 7, and 3,000 people on Saturday from 9 to 7 also. You can go to the Jackson County Health Department website to try to sign up to see if there may be vaccines available. So, you know, it's one of those things that they've already said, don't show up if you don't have an appointment, but
absolutely
take the opportunity to go to the website or call the Truman number to see if there may be appointments available, because that's 6,000 vaccinations that are going to be happening in the metropolitan area over the next 2 days.
So absolutely. And also what Truman has done, actually, when it first came out, a lot of people crashed Truman's site because they were trying to get in. People were desperate. And so that, to me, tells you that the people want the vaccine. When we first partnered with Truman and we put it out in our e-news and to our congregation, I had over 600 emails of people requesting. And so from that information, we were able to get 300 in at St. James. And the information was turned into Truman. And so what Truman decided to do is, instead of using your website, people get frustrated, people are upset. And so they made it very easy. If you go to trumed.org, they have it now. As soon as you hit enter, it pops up and says, would you like a vaccine? Click here. They're trying to make it easy. They're trying to get you in. And so we do know that there are seniors that cannot don't have access to computers, and so that's why you can call and they will fill out the information for you and be an assistant for this community.
And also, if you're a veteran, you receive care through the VA hospital, you can give them a call at 816-861-4700, and the VA is doing shot clinics also. So, Yvette, you mentioned that you had the vaccination. Did you have any side effects?
Just a sore arm at first, and I didn't even realize it. I was working that day until I went to lift my arm, and I said, well, that's a little sore. And so the second shot, I had just a little reaction. I took a Benadryl, and I was fine. I feel safe, but I still wear my mask, double mask when I'm out in the community. Continue to wash your hands. Continue to stay the 6 feet at a distance. It's so key to follow the rules. And if we just follow those rules for a little bit longer, then we will all be able to enjoy life. Kansas City is known for basketball. We're known for sports. We're known for barbecue. We're known for the summer with the 18th and Vine, the Plaza, all those areas. And people want to experience that. The Royals. I'm looking forward to going to a Chiefs game. I missed all the entire season because of COVID. But what I'm saying is if we do the right things, our children will be back in school. We will be back in worship. And so that is what is so exciting, is if we can get a grasp on this, we can get back into the house of worship. We can get back into fellowshipping with our sisters and brothers. We can get back to visiting friends and family and loved ones that are in the nursing home, in long care facility, and those that need help. And it's been so hard that you can't normally go to a person's house to visit if they're sick, to drop off food. You have to stay your distance. So if we can get this pandemic under control, if we can get the shot, we can get back to living. We can get back to being human beings. We can get back to that high five and those hugs that we give to provide comfort. So many people have lost loved ones during this time, and it has been so sad that funerals that you cannot attend to hug them, to support them, to give them encouragement. So there's so much that will happen in the most positive way. So, if we just believe what Dr. Kizzy Colbert, 34-year-old African-American woman who helped design this Moderna vaccine, take the shot, get back to living.
So, but also why, for COVID still here, and we have the California strain that is becoming a predominant strain here in the United States, why is it more important also that if people don't feel well to go get a COVID test to ensure that they don't pass it on to others?
Absolutely. We have to keep the safeguards in place. This is a step process, several steps. Number one, if you're not feeling well, there's still sites for testing. If you are positive, they have where you can do home quarantine. The medical community still has people available to help you if you have COVID-19. But if you have the opportunity to get the vaccine, get that, get your second shot. And they're saying after 2 weeks after your second shot or 3 weeks, then you should be protected. But you still need to wear your mask, wash your hands, and do the 6 feet of social distancing. And so I just think that if we continue to provide the educational materials, it will continue to help people to understand, don't let your guard down. Don't let your guard down. We're too close. We're too close right now to let our guard down.
So I want to thank Ms. Richards for being our guest this morning. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. So if you're in need of a shot, call 311 if you live in Missouri or if you live in Kansas. Also, you can go to the Jackson County Health Department webpage and try to get on if they have any vaccinations left for this particular weekend. Also, if you're a veteran, call the VA hospital, 816-861-4700. And if you want more information on the vaccine, go to the CDC website at cdc.gov. This Saturday, Councilman Brandon Ellington will be having a meeting. It's going to be on Microsoft Teams, and it's also going to be live for those that may want to come out to the Mohart who've been vaccinated. But you can give his office a call at 816-513-6511. And what they're going to be discussing in the meeting is the 2021 Jackson County property tax assessments, but also how to do an urban renewal area in your neighborhood. And for those that may not be familiar what a URA is, a URA is a program where if a homeowner does $5,000 worth of work, or maybe the city roof comes in or one of the city programs does $5,000 worth of work, you can get your property taxes frozen at the level where they are for the next 10 years so you don't have to worry about seeing those big spikes. So give his office a call at 816-513-6511 and they'll send you out the Microsoft Teams invite. So for Cowtown Conversations, I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Join us next week as we will have CPA Melvin Gatson on to discuss the American Rescue Act and how it will benefit you. I hope you have a great day. Stay safe, wear a mask, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
I'm Lisa Hardwick, president of the Deed Foundation and the Delta Athenaeum, where the suffrage movement in Kansas City took root. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about that movement. When Congress ratified the 19th Amendment giving American women the right to vote in 1920, it reflected generations of work by suffragists of all races and backgrounds. Historically, attention has focused on the efforts of white movement leaders like Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. But across the nation, there were many black women who joined in the battle for suffrage while also fighting racism and discrimination. Black women weren't always welcomed in the movement because many of the white leaders were worried that their involvement would lessen the willingness of the power structure to give them the right to vote. So many of the black women were left to advocate for the right to vote on their own, and that they did. In the Kansas City area, Ida Bowman Bex is among the most influential. Born in 1880, Ms. Bex established the first Urban League chapter in Kansas City and served on the board of directors. Using that platform, she was a powerful orator who passionately spoke on the need for women's suffrage, racial equality, and the general need to uplift the ambitions of women. In 1919, Ms. Bex had her most memorable performance in a public debate at Ebenezer AME Church, where she and her debate partner, Ms. W.A. Green, argued on the affirmative team in favor of giving women the full right to vote. There were actually two women on the other side who argued against the proposition. Ms. Bex and her partner not only won the debate, they helped win the battle for women's suffrage in 1920. After the passage of the 19th Amendment, Ms. Bex furthered her quest to uplift women by creating the first Young Women's Christian Association for African American Women in Kansas City, Kansas, and then later in Kansas City, Missouri, known as the Paseo YWCA. Her pursuit of civil rights and equal opportunities for Black women and men continued until her death in 1953 at the age of 73. We are grateful for the legacy of Ida Bowman Bex and so many others who paved the way for the freedoms we enjoy today.
This is Erica Benson with Project 28 Missouri for Women's History Month on KKFI Community Radio. Project 28 Missouri is working to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. The United States has fallen out of the top third of countries internationally ranked for gender equality. The U.S. is ranked as the 10th most dangerous country in the world for women. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. The ERA will not only prohibit sex-based discrimination, but will authorize Congress to promote actual gender equality and eradicate gender disadvantages through new legislation. First introduced in 1923 by the National Woman's Party, and after a long battle, the ERA finally passed with a two-thirds vote in both chambers of Congress on March 22, 1972, and was sent to the states for ratification. However, Congress placed a seven-year deadline on the ratification. This time limit was placed not in the words of the ERA itself, but in the proposing clause. As the original 1979 deadline approached, supporters fought for an